There's 15 windows.
Devotees.
There's room for about 100 people in the windows.
हरे कृष्णा, अभी महाराज का प्रवचन अंग्रेजी में होगा, तो जो कोई भक्त इस प्रवचन का हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना चाहते हैं, वे सभी नीचे प्रसादम हॉल में चले जाएं, जहां पर क्लोज सर्किट टीवी के साथ इस अंग्रेजी प्रवचन का हिंदी में अनुवाद हो रहा है।
ज्ञानमिदंडस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकतमयम् ततातीश्वापतन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं ठं सजीवं षाद्वैतम् सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका खन्ता राधा खन्ता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि हरि हरे राम 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 हरि हरि
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम
Oh, my mind, please dance. Oh, such a merciful personality is Nityananda Prabhu. He is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagai and Madhai and still gives them love of God. Oh, when your offenses are vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya and Nitai, there is no consideration of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end. Oh, when there is attachment to the holy name of Krishna, the life of a living being very easily becomes successful. Without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you will obtain the beautiful vision of Radha and Shyam in Vrindavan. but when only when the mercy of Lord Gauranga is first received. They're opening those windows? Why they don't do before the program starts? If anyone wants to have, these windows are very nice to sit in. We spent so much time making them, someone please sit in them. There you go. It is my great pleasure and fortune to be with all of you once again after a very long separation. Can everyone hear? Can everyone hear? Say yes or no. If you say Hari Bol, it sounds no. What? Huh? The speaker in this room is not working. Can you hear?
Yes!
Hari Bol. We're celebrating Sarat Purnima. Tomorrow will be the most special and beautiful darshan in the history of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. So please come for tomorrow's Sarat Purnima darshan. Devotees have been preparing for months for this one darshan. It will be at, the program will start at 6 o'clock tomorrow, yes? 5 o'clock. It will start at 5 o'clock. There will be bhajans and kirtans from 5. Then there'll be a discourse on the significance of Sarat Purnima. And then the most glorious of all darshans. So please do come. Because this darshan will never be again. It's only one time. Hare Krishna. In this beautiful song, Bhaktivinod Thakur is singing that the darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar and Vrindavan is easily achieved when one attains the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world to teach us that the essence of religion is to attain a real taste for the holy name of Krishna, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to show compassion to those who are suffering in this world. In order to actually be serious about taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we must have a very sober realization of the miseries of this world. The basis of real religion is to purify the heart of all anartas by honestly and genuinely taking shelter of the mercy
of the Lord.
But taking shelter is not just a fashion. It is not something that we just happily do in a playful mood as a form of entertainment. We take shelter of the Lord when we urgently understand the desperate need. And in that shelter, we find the supreme ecstasies of the spiritual world. I have been, so tonight we'll discuss the miseries of the material world. And tomorrow we'll speak about the happiness of the spiritual world. It's a two-day festival, so we will conveniently divide it accordingly. Of course, you all have experience of this subject. Today, the world is drastically shaken by recent events that have taken place in the United States of America. I just came from that land. I've never seen America in such a condition. Somehow or other, I've been in this body for one half of a century, but I've never seen America in this state. It is shaken to its very core. Here we have the most powerful nation in the world setting the trends and the pace for the economy, for politics, for so-called materialistic culture. The people are shocked and in great fear. Many people are rejecting the conception of God because of what had happened. I spoke to several people, pious people, who believed in God their whole lives, even met Prabhupada and chanted Hare Krishna, and we had read Prabhupada's books to some extent. And even they were saying, I cannot believe that there is a Krishna who was all loving and compassionate, because if there was, how could he allow that tragedy to take place? If God is the supreme controller of everything that exists, why didn't he turn that plane just a few feet one way or the other? How over 5,000 people, who appear to be innocent people, men, women, children, just going about their work, had to suffer such an incredibly miserable, violent death? Did you stop to think of how those people died? Those airplanes hit the World Trade Center, which is the World Trade Center is the symbol of economic development for the whole planet Earth. New York City is the capital of material culture in the world, and the World Trade Towers are the largest building and the very symbol of everything New York City represents. When those planes hit and exploded, those thousands of people Think about it. They were in a blazing fire and they couldn't get out. One of our devotees, very nice devotee, he worked right next door to the World Trade Center. He happens to be financial director of American Express Company, International. And he was just on his way to work, and he just saw a plane hit the World Trade Center. He was about 100 feet away from the building. And he couldn't, what is happening? He was thinking, maybe I shouldn't go to work today. So he just kind of stood to see what was going to happen. And then he saw another plane hit the other tower. And they exploded and they fell to the ground. It was so hot up there. People were burning in the flames with no way out. Dozens of people jumped from the 100th floor, 90th floor, 80th floor, because they'd rather die in the fresh air than just suffer being burned to death. Serious suffering. I was at one devotee community, and this man and wife came to see me, and they were telling me some problems that they had. That there was problems with their house, there was mold in their house, and they had just lost their jobs, and it was just so difficult situation. This is just a few days after this catastrophe. I told them, if you were on the 96th floor of the World Trade Center when it was on fire, and you were thinking that you had the opportunity to come back and be in the exact same situation that you are now, would you think it was nice? They said, we'd do anything to be back in this situation now. So why are you complaining? Why you're thinking it's the end of the world? When you think that life is against you, put yourself in the shoes of those people and just think, if you were there, how wonderful it would be to be in the situation that you're in today. And be grateful for what you have. On September 11th, thousands of people died. Hundreds of thousands of family members and friends suffer miserably. And the world is shaken in fear. So are we to blame God? If God is an all-loving, all-compassionate person, why would he allow such innocent people to suffer and die? Krishna is all-merciful, and he is all-loving. In all the scriptures throughout the world, God, his sons, his prophets, his representatives, they all give us the same message, that the material world is a place of suffering. It is not your home. Get out. Go back to the kingdom of God. Back home, back to Godhead. This is the basis of every religion. In 1970, when I was living here in India, I met some Christians, very, very devout. And they gave me a very rare version of the Bible, the St. Thomas version of the Bible, written by one of the personal associates of Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember one statement of Lord Jesus in that book that affected me a lot. He said, "This world is a bridge. Cross over it, but build no house upon it." But people are going to the churches begging God to give them a better house. Krishna tells us in Gita, Mamupeti punarajanma dukalayam ashashvatam napnavanti mahatmana samsadim paramam gata. That the great souls, they aspire for the spiritual world. That is the ultimate perfection. They don't want to try to find happiness in this material world, which is a miserable place because everything is temporary. The soul is eternal. It can find no real satisfaction in the temporary enjoyments of this world. Whether you die of a catastrophe or whether you get old, diseased, and die, it's suffering. Have you ever studied what happens in old age? It's really miserable. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, the body was emaciated. And he smiled at the young 25-year-old Hare Krishna devotees and said, "Do not think this will not happen to you." We forget. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravano chunarjuna mamupeta tukontaya punara janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, they are all places of misery. They're all places of death. But one who takes shelter of me attains my abode and never has to take the birth in this world again. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Those who are intelligent, they make their goal not happiness in this world, they make their goal the spiritual world, because this is the place where there is danger at every step. And believe me, the most wealthy, powerful nation in the world, everyone is now aware, for the first time I've ever seen, that there is danger at every step. It's nothing new. The defense minister of India came to America, and some press reporters asked him, "What do you think of this great tragedy that has happened on September 11th? He said, "We in India, we've been living with this terrorism and fear, knowing there's danger at every step, for so many generations." Said, you people in America, you're understanding this for the first time. But if we look at history, take just one sample of history. There are so many, innumerable. Look at the Second World War. What one man could do. Hitler was just one man. He's a pure spirit soul. He's part and parcel of Krishna. Somewhere down in that heart, there's love, compassion, mercy, respect for all living beings. It's the nature of the soul. But he fell victim to anarthas, to lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, illusion. And look what he did. This one man, he had so much envy, he had so much hatred in his heart. And literally, he was incredibly empowered by that hatred. So much so that anyone he associated with, he could fill them with the same hatred. One of our very dear God brothers, his father was one of the main people under Hitler responsible for killing tens and thousands of people. Not war people, innocent civilians, men, women, children, old. Just bringing them in like cows in a slaughterhouse and gassing them to death. And later on, when he saw that it was all a total hoax, a mistake, now he's 80 years old, he... that it was the greatest service to humanity and to God to exterminate millions of innocent people. That's the power of a leader. Krishna tells us in Gita, yad yad acharati sreshtas tas tad tad evitaro jana sayat pramanam kuriti lokastharam. That what the great men do, the common man will follow. Whatever standards they set by their exemplary acts, the world will pursue. So he was a powerful man. He convinced an entire nation of tens and millions of people to surrender to his vision of cruelty, hatred, and violence. And ultimately he was destroyed. And there were so many conquerors that came here to India, tore down temples, built mosques, killed millions of people in the name of God, convincing so many people to follow them. Some of the worst, most demoniac criminal activities have been executed in the name of God. And that's what we find today in the situation that we are discussing. What is religion? Krishna explains what religion is. Savai pung shang paro dharmo. Yato bhakti rahopasthi. Ahoita kiya pratihataya yatma suprasidati. The real occupation of man, supreme, real religion, is that which brings about unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. To love God, to respect all living beings, to have a heart of compassion, that is real religion. And wherever we find these qualities, that is good religion. But people put their own ego and their own demoniac motivations and label them with the word God and justify them by some interpretations of scriptures and get millions of people to follow. So many people turn away from religion because they see such hypocrisy. But people must be educated. What actually is real religion? So Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, comes to this world again and again to tell us that this is a miserable place.
Lord Brahma, who created the secondary creation of this universe we're living, he frankly says right at the beginning of creation,
he says to Krishna, I don't like this creation business
because it's all being created
to make people suffer. The whole purpose of material existence is to make people suffer.
And we're trying to be happy. And the happiness of material life just creates attachment,
which leads to greater suffering.
So Krishna is an all-loving, compassionate God. He tells us where our real home is. Even though the people of this world have rejected him, have defied him, have offended him, he still keeps coming. You are misusing your free will. Vaikuntha, the doors are open. Come in. He sends his devotees. He sends his scriptures. He gives everybody every opportunity. But we reject. The problems in the world are people are not willing to live in harmony with the will of God. If we were willing to live in harmony with the will of Krishna, then this world would become like Vaikuntha. Krishna gave this benediction to Sudama, the garland maker in Mathura, that because you're surrendered to me, you'll enjoy everything you ever wanted in this world, and then you'll go back home, back to Godhead. That's what the world could be if we were Krishna conscious. So not to blame God. God is so merciful.
He has come as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to give
Vrindavan Ras of love of God to everyone.
Just chant the holy names and live by these simple principles of devotional service.
A devotee is Paradukaduki. Srila Prabhupada was such a devotee. We have seen what kind of leaders, Hitler, or Bin Laden, or Aurangzeb, what they do. They just create hatred and violence and death. But if a leader is Krishna conscious, look at what Srila Prabhupada has done. He's brought love and compassion to millions of people's lives.
Look at what great souls like Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati.
Vasudev Dutt. Srila Prabhupada wanted the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to train people to be spiritual leaders of society,
because that is the greatest need on our planet today.
And what is the nature of such a leader?
Paradukaduki.
The suffering of others becomes his suffering. Sometimes I hear, when there are catastrophes like this, people just say, it's just their karma.
Is that a way a devotee thinks?
It may just be their karma. But that's not our business what their karma is. Our business is to save them and to feel for them and to give them relief, whatever their karma may be.
Karma is between them and Krishna.
How many millions of cows are being slaughtered every year?
But nobody thinks about it.
How many millions of innocent children are being killed in the womb of their mother every year?
No one thinks about it.
How many tens and thousands of people are starving to death every year?
No one thinks about it.
When 4,000 or 5,000 people are killed, the whole world isn't upset. Of course, we should be upset. But we should be upset for all the people who are suffering, all the people who are being murdered. If it's just a matter of karma, then why are we trying to stop people from murdering the cows? Why are we vegetarians? It's just the karma of the cows to die. No. We're willing to preach and give our lives to teach people to protect those cows. And if we hear about cows being slaughtered, we will weep, we will cry, we can't bear the fact.
What to speak of human beings?
If Srila Prabhupada came to New York City and he saw people addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, atheists,
suffering in the streets,
he didn't just say, "It's your karma, Prabhu." He wept, he cried, his heart was broken. And he was willing to risk and sacrifice his life to save us. That is Vaishnav. Wherever we see or hear of suffering, we should cry to think of people physically, mentally, spiritually suffering. And that should be more of an impetus for us to do something to help them. Do you know that when those people were burning in the towers of the World Trade Center, hundreds of firemen ran into the blazing fires, risking their life to save people. Actually, noble souls. They knew that they would probably never come out alive. Please listen carefully. None of these firemen were brahmacharis or sannyasis. They had wives. They had children. They had parents, brothers and sisters. Practically all of them were family people, like most of you. But yet, still, they were willing to run into a burning building about to fall down, risking suffering, pain, and death to save others. This tragedy really woke up America. Do you know what is Halloween? How many people have heard of Halloween? It's tomorrow. It is one of the most important festivals of the United States of America. Yes, Maharaj? It's very important. What it is young children, they get costumes and dress up and go out at night. Hare Krishna. So, and adults, they have all kinds of costume parties. And children, they do what they call trick-or-treat. They go door to door and they say, people give them candy. And the costumes that they wear on Halloween, I have seen. I actually read this. This is a statistic. The most popular costumes bought every Halloween, from the beginning of Halloween, are ghosts, hobgoblins, ghouls, skeletons. For girls, witches. Most of them don't need a costume, but still. This is it. The boys are ghosts and the girls are witches, and they just go haunting each other. This is... And sometimes people who are a little more pious, they'll dress up as a basketball star or a football star. Do you know this year? Do you know what the most popular costume is for all the children all over America? Firemen. This is their heroes. Instead of some basketball person who just jumps like an animal, like a kangaroo, and throws a ball in a net, or some football player who kicks like a mule. Or ghosts, or witches, who just cause everyone misery. They're actually, they're heroes now. Are these men who were willing to risk their lives and die for the welfare of others. Samsara dhavanalo vidaloka. We sing every morning that this material world is a blazing fire. Just like those World Trade Centers were blazing in fire, from a spiritual point of view, the entire material world is like that World Trade Center after being hit by those planes. It's on fire. The fire is burning in every living being's heart, within and without. People are suffering. And the spiritual master, he brings the rain cloud of Krishna's mercy to extinguish that blazing fire of material existence. Due to ignorance, people are burning in the sufferings of material life. Srila Prabhupada, he came to every continent of the world as the supreme fireman to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. He was willing to sacrifice and risk his life to save our souls. If these firemen are willing to risk their lives to save the body, which is going to die in a few days anyway, and that is noble work, we should respect that, how much we as devotees should be willing to risk our lives and sacrifice anything to save people's souls from the blazing fire of material existence. If you save the soul, that soul finds ultimate peace and happiness for all eternity. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in these terms, is Srila Prabhupada's fire department. And he's recruited us to be his firemen and fire ladies. And he's given us, it's like those firemen, they went in with their hoses. And water came out. Prabhupada has given us hoses too.
And the water that comes out to extinguish the fire is the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. To preach, one has to have compassion. One has to feel for the suffering of others. Now, one has to be willing to make sacrifices and accept inconveniences to save them. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is no one more dear to me than the preacher of Krishna consciousness. America retaliated. And now they're dropping bombs on Afghanistan. To try to somehow or other stop these terrorists from continuing their terror. Maya's terrorizing the whole world. And Prabhupada said that his bombs are his books. This is Lord Chaitanya's way. He didn't come to kill the demoniac. He came to kill the demoniac consciousness of the demoniac and make them pure. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udarilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. The holy name of Krishna even made Jagai and Madhai pure, compassionate, humble, respectful saints. Lord Srila Prabhupada sent his devotees all over the world, just dropping bombs everywhere in the form of books and prasad and temples and harinam. Srila Prabhupada sent his devotees like firemen into blazing situations to rescue people's lives. So we should be sincere. Please think about those firemen. From moral, social standards, what heroes they were. And what Srila Prabhupada and Krishna expects of us. We could save their very souls. But we have to be united. Amongst those firemen, there were black people, there were Mexican and Puerto Rican people, there were white people, there were all different religions, all different ethnic backgrounds. They may have had some disagreements. They may not have liked each other. But when they were in there together fighting that fire, they were one. They were in total harmony. They didn't have time to fight. They didn't have time to gossip. They didn't have time to be disunified over petty, ridiculous issues. We are in the blazing fire of material existence. It is God's command to all of you. Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janmajar. Every person born in India, the Supreme Lord ordered, become Krishna conscious and give your life to make others Krishna conscious. It is your duty. We don't have time to fight over these petty things. The world is on fire. We have to be united. Put aside all separatism. That is compassion. That is love. That is devotion. That is Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's very sad, but for the world to wake up and take life seriously. Oftentimes, there has to be disasters. Why is that so? I have one godbrother. He was brought up in one of the roughest, toughest, most corrupt parts of New York City. He told me what it's like when you go down that street in New York City, in that neighborhood. Prostitutes everywhere. Drug dealers trying to just right on the street with deadly, intoxicating, addicting drugs, just practically attacking you and ordering you to buy his drugs. Violent street gangs with weapons just roaming through the streets, robbing people, fighting and killing each other. That's what you see every day on these rough streets of New York City. He said after September 11th, he was walking down the street. He saw all these people sitting in circles praying to God for help. Hare Krishna. Do you know, after this attack, since World War II, there has been record attendance in churches and synagogues throughout New York? I'll tell you something else. You know what is internet? If you know what is internet, say Hari Bol. Anyways, I don't know so much about this internet, but I'll tell you what the statistics reported in the news. There's something called a keyword search. Yes? You just type in a word, and anyone who's speaking on that subject in the whole world on internet, you get access. Is that what it means? Yes, keyword search. From the first day the internet was established in this planet to the present times, the number one keyword search has been sex. I mean, you can't have sex through a computer. But just this mental sex, people are so addicted, they are so infatuated, they are so intoxicated by this sex desire. And what a total waste of time. Just surfing the waves of the ocean of material existence for some obscene sexual stimulation. If it's the number one keyword search on the internet, that means that's the number one thing in the minds of the whole world. Sex. Of course, Krishna says that sex life according to religious principles, I am that sex. But that means sex for the procreation of children. You can't procreate children through the internet. So that means it's all illicit sex. This means illicit sex is the number one thing on people's minds without comparison in the whole world. There was never a time it was not number one keyword search. But for the first time in history, on September 11th and ever since then, the word sex has not even come in the top 10. Began on September 11th to the present day. What does that mean?
people are taking life seriously. They understand that sense gratification has nothing to do with reality. There's something more. Human life is to be taken seriously. We should not waste our time with prajalpa, with gossip, with unnecessary sense gratification. Because factually, death could come at any moment. Now there is this biochemical terrorism going on. People in America are afraid to open their mailbox. There is this anthrax. Horrible disease. And it could just come upon anybody, anytime, anywhere. Somebody just has to go like with some powder, and if you breathe it, you die. Unless you immediately take some medicines. They're fearing a mass epidemic. As devotees, we understand there is already a mass epidemic in this world. And the disease is called ignorance, forgetfulness of God. And just as people are taking all kinds of precautions to not be succumbed by this epidemic of anthrax, the most powerful, widespread epidemic killing spiritual culture in the whole human civilization, ignorance, we have to take it very seriously. We have to take great precaution. Anthrax could only kill your body, but you'll take another birth. But ignorance kills your propensity to serve God. It separates you from your original nature. It kills you spiritually. So actually, if we were just a little bit conscious of reality, we would see the anthrax disease of ignorance permeating the world, and we would take very strict precautions to chant the holy names every day, to hear Hari Katha every day, to associate with devotees every day, and to not unnecessarily expose ourselves to that epidemic. We take little things so serious, but the big things we don't even consider. And we would do everything we possibly can to help. Whatever tragedies have taken place, or any time, a devotee should feel compassion and sorrow for those who suffer. But at the same time, we must learn lessons from life. What is material nature trying to teach us? I was told in Singapore just 2 days back that the American military, they have these war games where they just make hypothetical cases of battles and how they would deal with it and why they're happening. And he told me that they're right currently they have 25 war games. hypothetically, and all of them are the imminent conflict between India and Pakistan.
Hare Krishna.
They feel this is a dangerous situation. Nuclear bombs on both sides. And yet people just go on trying to make their money and going to the Bollywood movies, watching their star TVs and their satellite discs, going to the restaurants, enjoying. To be serious. It's not that we should be just in fear, but we should be serious. If we're Krishna conscious, we have nothing to fear. Bajahure mana srinanda nandana abhaya charanara vindare. If we take shelter of Krishna, there's nothing to fear. We should become very serious. All the money, all the fame, all the prestige, all the good health in the world cannot protect you. Material nature is very strong. And there are so many demoniac forces, so many diseases, epidemics. Adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhotika. Adibhotika is very powerful these days. Miseries caused by other living beings. We should become serious. Serious to make ourselves strong, immune from the disease, and actually develop the real spirit of service to help others, to save others, by helping to give them the shelter of the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. That is the purpose of this temple. To educate people in such a way that they understand that the only relief from the sufferings of material world is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. And that shelter is so easily available. Just raise your arms and loudly chant the holy name. Prabhupada gave us what he called the peace formula. It is Krishna's formula. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything. Everything is meant for his enjoyment, and he is the well-wishing friend of all living beings. One who lives by these principles can achieve real peace. So please, my humble request is what happened on September 11th is nothing new. It's just more in the forefront of people's attention. There's a lot more than 5,000 children being aborted in the womb of their mothers every day. There's a lot more than 5,000 cows or innocent animals being slaughtered every day. We should feel compassion, but we should do it with a real understanding of the broad spectrum of suffering and death. And
and be instruments of Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharya's love. Love for Krishna and love for all humanity and all living beings. That is our ultimate goal. Tomorrow we will be celebrating Ras Purnima, the day of Krishna's Ras Lila. It certainly is a different Ras than tonight's discussion, is it not? That is reality. In a world of illusion, this is the Lila. In the world of truth, there is the Ras Lila. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inviting everyone to come to Radha and Krishna's Ras Lila. Srila Prabhupada is giving free tickets to the whole world. Come, go back to the home of God. Enter into his loving rasa. But until we are convinced that there's no real happiness in this world, and we make our goal the lotus feet of the Lord, we remain here in a world of epidemics and terrorism. You can't change the world, but you can change the consciousness. You can change the consciousness of yourself and others. So you're like a lotus flower. You could be in this world, but not of this world. A lotus flower could be in a muddy place and unaffected. We could live in this world and be in transcendental ecstasy because we transcend the modes of material nature. And this is what is waiting for us, Krishna's Ras Lila. We can't artificially jump into the Ras Lila just through our imagination or our sentiments. But if we purify ourselves through sincere service and devotion, Srimati Radharani, through her associates, will just bring us right into their Leela. So we have complete faith. That simply by chanting Hare Krishna and serving the great souls, they will deliver us. So tomorrow, please come to see Radha Gopinath's Ras Lila and celebrate the occasion by chanting their holy names. Thank you very much. We'll have a few minutes of kirtan. You shall dance?
Yes.
Thank you.